I want to take a few moments this morning and I want to talk to you about how you can keep fear out of your life and out of the life of your family. I've titled this message today, No More Fear, and I'm very excited about this message, and I feel God is definitely in this message and put this on my heart. But how many of you know with the rising and falling of markets almost daily, you almost feel like you're on the roller coaster ride over at Six Flags, the Texas Giant, if you watch the markets. America's national debt now is over $15 trillion and increasing by $4 billion a day. Now there's talk of double-dip recession, possible worldwide recession being predicted. I'm sure you've heard about some of these things. And then when you think about the fact that we all have a dream for our lives, and now it seems like dreams are going to go unfulfilled. And by the way, I want to say that's not the case. And these dreams seem to be seemingly out of reach. With all that's going on in our world today and the climate around us, all this together at the very least provides the opportunity for fear in our lives. Is that right? But guess what? We're not going to fear. I declare to you, no more fear today. Absolutely not in Jesus' name. But at least, at the very least, we have that opportunity to experience fear. Has anyone, you don't have to raise your hand, but anyone experienced any fear lately as you've watched the markets or you've watched the news or you've heard what's going on in the world? Fear defines this. It means to be afraid. Secondly, it means to be apprehensive of. Or it can mean to fear the worst. Now, let's be real today. There's a lot of fear in our world today. And the Bible even says as we get into the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of all that is coming on the earth. Now, I want to read a scripture to you that actually Ralph and I discussed, one that was on his heart that God used to give me this message today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Let me just again share four things with you that this verse says. It says, in love, and you have to realize when John is writing this book, he's writing to people, to Christians, who he does not want to be, he doesn't want them to be fearful. And he's talking about being secure in the love of God. He says, there is no fear in love. We're not apprehensive. We're not afraid. We're not. Folks, let me just be honest with you. God graced me a few weeks ago to say, I'm not going to fear what's coming on the world. I'm not going to fear the markets. I'm not going to fear anything. And there has just been a calmness and a peace in the face of, you know, all that we see today. I'm at peace. And I refuse to let fear have a part of my life because, number one, I realize there is no fear in love. If I realize, and I'm going to talk about this a lot today, how much God loves me, I'm not going to be in fear. He says this about fear. He says, perfect love casts out all fear. And then thirdly, he said, fear involves torment. Beloved, listen to me. I want every one of you to hear me tune in today. God does not want His people living in torment. Can I hear a great big amen? Number four says, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I had to realize if I have fear in my life or if I have torment in my mind and emotions, I'm not walking in the perfect love of God. I don't understand how much God loves me. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, you may want to turn to this in your Bible, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, says this. He says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached, listen now, the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into God's love. It's not complete and perfect in their lives. Beloved, I want you to hear me today. God does not want any of His children living in fear, and He certainly doesn't want any of us to be tormented by fear. And I think you'll understand that a little better by the time I'm finished today. Why? Because let me tell you what fear does. Fear causes us to doubt God. It causes us to doubt God's promises. It causes us to doubt God's word and every promise that God has given us. Fear will do that. Sometimes we just kind of think it's okay to have fear. Well, you know, I'm just dealing with this, and then we speak the fear and we speak the doubt, and guess what? That nullifies the love of God in our lives, and thus it nullifies the blessing of God that He wants to give to us. I pray no one has had any fear, and I pray no one hearing me today has had torment in their lives. I pray this, really, God gave me this message. Hopefully it's a preventative message so you can understand God doesn't want me to be afraid of anything. He doesn't want me to live in apprehension, and He doesn't want me to live in torment. Now, the Bible says this about God's people. The Bible says, first of all, that God is madly in love with us. Amen? You hear me say it from time to time. You hear preachers say it. It's so real. God is not mad and angry at His people today. Can you hear me on that? In fact, the Bible says that you and I are the apple of God's eye. When God looks at us, He doesn't look and say, "Oh, Lord, look at that boy. Look at that person." God says, "That is the apple of my eye." We are His children, beloved. And I want to tell you, He is concerned for us. He is madly in love with us. And He does not want you and I living in fear and in torment and in apprehension. Can I hear another great big amen today? Amen. In other words, you mean everything to God. Now, I kind of felt myself a little bit helpless here when I started preparing this, because I realized only God can convince us how much He loves us. I can sit here and tell you all day. I can sit here and read Scripture all day long and tell you how much God loves you. But if you don't understand that and you hadn't come to that place where you recognize it, then God's going to have to do a new work in us. Let me tell you this. God is going to provide for His children regardless of what is going on in the world. Did you hear what I said? God is going to provide for His children regardless of what is going on in this world. And this, you can take this one to the bank. He is going to provide for us. That's a little play on words there. He's going to provide for His children. I am totally, absolutely convinced of this. Now, when I think of dreams being fulfilled and I think about provision and all that God wants to do in our lives, you know who I think about in the Bible? I think about Joseph. And all week long, I thought about Joseph. See, a lot of people are feeling as though they'll never see their dreams fulfilled and they'll never see their aspirations fulfilled because of all that's going on in the world. And people, if they're not careful, they're kind of getting in a give-up spirit, like, well, I thought that was God, and I thought God wanted to do that in my life, and, you know, I heard it preached, and I believed it, and I've confessed it. Let me tell you, God is going to fulfill every dream that He's ever given you if you stay true to Him. Amen? Think about Joseph. When I think of dreams that were given and promises that were given, and then when I begin to realize all that Joseph went through, if you really stop and think about Joseph's life, one day everything was well with Joseph. Some of you, one day it appeared, and it was, and it's a reality, everything was well with you and God. You had your father's favor on your life. And I'm going to tell you something. I know right now there are some folks you need to get this message to who are not here today because they're discouraged. It appeared, and you did. It was a reality that you had the favor of God on your life. Here Joseph is. He's young, and he's bright, and he has this dream. And by the way, he's telling everybody about the dream. Amen. You know the story. And everything appeared to be well. In other words, life couldn't have been better. And out of nowhere, Joseph's economy changes, and it changes drastically. And I'm not just talking about money today. However, I am going to talk about money today, because a lot of people are drawing back. They're afraid. They're fearful. They're afraid they're going to go broke. They're afraid their retirement's going to go away. Let me tell you, what may or may not happen, I don't know, but I know this. God is going to provide for us. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And everything was going well with Joseph. Life couldn't have been better. But all of a sudden, everything changed. Have any of you ever had a moment in your life where all of a sudden everything changes? I've been there. And guess what? You do still have the favor of God on your life. So you're thinking, man, I remember a few years ago when everything was going great. There was plenty of money in the bank. And what happened? Your economy changed. And let me just go ahead and tell you, folks, sometimes God permits our economy to change. He allows things to change in our life because He wants to get us to that next step or that new place for the dream that He has for us, because He absolutely wants the dream to be fulfilled. Everything was going well, and suddenly, which happens, his brothers became jealous of him. Don't you just love jealous people? They're like a thorn in your flesh. Jealous people can be mean. They can be cantankerous. See, these preachers know exactly what I'm talking about. I believe I'll preach today, Annie. And what did his jealous brothers want to do? They wanted to kill him. Now, they decided against it. Now, we're not going to kill him, but I tell you what we're going to do. The older brother said, you know, don't be killing the little brother. Thank God for the older brother that stepped in. They wanted to kill him. Well, they decided against that. So, as the alternative, they just decided to throw him into a pit. You know, I mean, great alternative. I don't know which would be better, to be killed by your brothers or be thrown in a pit. I mean, I want you today to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. I want you to think what it's like to be a young man and to have a dream and to have a vision, or an old man and to have a dream and to have a vision, and all of a sudden you don't know what happened. Things were great with you and your father. You had that multicolored coat. I mean, everything was going well. You couldn't do anything wrong, and bam, all of a sudden life changed. Now, younger people don't like you to preach like this, but I'm just going to tell you, life will change on you. And I want to tell you something else. It's not because you had a bad confession. It's not because you didn't have faith. It's because sometimes things just change in life. And sometimes, this is a part of it people don't like, sometimes God allows things to change. You know why? He's taking you on to that next level. And I want to tell you, this is when it is very critical. You put yourself in Joseph's shoes this morning, and you think about what that young man thought all of a sudden. It's like, these were my brothers, and now they're trying to kill me. They don't like me. You ever been there and you just wonder, what did I do to make people jealous of me? What did I ever do to make people want to kill me? Hey, it's a reality in our world. You know what it is? Oftentimes you're serving Jesus, and you're doing His will. You're doing His will, and the devil gets mad. And it's in those times we have to realize, I'm not struggling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. See, a lot of people are in a spiritual battle right now, but they are not recognizing what's going on. A lot of people. But you think about the emotions that were going through this young man. You think about what all Joseph was experiencing. Like, what happened? Think about being in a pit, and some of you know exactly what that's like to be in an emotional pit, to be trapped somewhere where you can't get out, and you're wondering, what happened, man? Everything was going great. I don't even have my favored coat that my father gave me. What happened? You think about the emotions that Joseph had in that time. They wanted to kill him. You know what happens to Joseph next? Joseph is sold into slavery. Now, I know a lot of people think they've got it bad right now. You don't have it bad. Not if you'll put your faith and your hope in God. You don't have it bad. Maybe you feel like you're in a pit right now, but I'm going to go ahead and declare to you, you're coming out of that pit in Jesus' name. Amen? You're coming out. God had a plan in all this, and I want you to remember that as I'm preaching today. God always has a plan, and if you feel like you're in a pit, I'm telling you, God's going to bring you out of the pit. Amen? Amen. He was thrown in a pit. Then he was sold into slavery. Now, I'm going to move through the story real quickly. If that were not enough, finally he gets out of the pit. He's sold into slavery, but you know, he's got some benefits. Later, I'll tell you in a moment, he's thrown into prison. I don't know which would be better. I think slavery, in the sense that Joseph had it, would be a little better than a prison experience. But I want you to keep this in mind. Think about all the emotions this young man is going through. Oh, one day I'm just sleeping and I have this dream that God gives me, and here it is, and I start telling people about it, and before I know it, the world has collapsed around me as I know it. You think Joseph ever had any moments for doubting the dream? You think Joseph ever had any opportunities to give up on God? You think Joseph was ever tempted to become angry with God? I believe he probably was. But what I like about Joseph, and I believe the reason Joseph is in the Bible, he didn't do those things. At least if he did them, he was able to conquer them and he was able to move on with God. I mean, Joseph has been stripped from everything he knows, from his home, from his family, from his father who loved him dearly. And now here he is in a sold into slavery. And now he goes into this setting where he's working for a very high-powered figure, Potiphar. The man had influence. He had a lot he was in charge of. He was wealthy. And so he buys Joseph. And he takes Joseph into his house. And here Joseph is. Apparently Joseph has decided, hey, this is my lot in life. To heck with that dream thing. I don't know what that was all about. I must have eaten pizza the night before. Whatever that was, I guess that's gone. He settled into his new home. And how many of you know how the story goes from there? Some of you say, this sounds just like my life. This sounds just like what I've been going through. Man, just trying to live out the dream, and the next thing I know, I get a setback. One setback leads to another setback. One setback leads to another setback, and a setback leads to another setback. It can get very depressing. But somehow or another, Joseph maintained the proper attitude towards God. I believe he maintained his faith. Lo and behold, one day he's doing his duties around the home, and then he is falsely accused of trying to make sexual advances toward the boss's wife. It was not true. Today we call this sexual harassment. But he got lied on. I mean, you know, it wasn't Joseph that was doing the sexual harassment. It was Potiphar's wife. It says, she looked at Joseph. The Bible says he was a good-looking guy. You know, there's two occasions where the Bible talks about how good-looking guys are. It talks about David being a good-looking man, and he talks about Joseph being a very attractive young man. And this woman, who was probably neglected by her husband because he was so busy working all the time, decided, you know what, if hubby's not going to come around, maybe I can work something out. This little Joseph, besides, we can keep it a secret. It's just me and him here in the house during the day. Hey, we'll try this. And guess what? Joseph maintained his integrity in the midst of all this stuff going on around him. And you know what the boy does? He does what everybody better do in a situation like that. You better hightail it and you better run. She stripped his clothes off of him or his outer tunic, and Joseph runs away. But guess what? Now you think you've got it bad? Come on! The guy is now thrown in prison. For what? For what? He just had a dream from God. He decided to tell the brethren about the dream. The brethren became jealous. Folks, let me just tell you, if God gives you a dream, if you don't think that dream will be tested, you need to think again. The dream will be tested, and it will be retested, and it will be tested again. But one day, if you hold true, as Joseph did, you will see what God was doing in the midst of all the things that you were going through. You are the apple of God's eye. And I want to stir you up today. I want to stir some dreams up. I want to stir some dreams up that died a long time ago, or at least went into a dormant state. I want to stir you up today to tell you, God wants you to get that dream out again, Jim. And He wants you to think about that dream, and He wants you to believe in that dream again. Amen? I just feel like I need to prophesy to us today and say, stir that dream up. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, Timothy, kindle afresh. Kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you. Kindle and stir. How many of you know it's the dream that keeps us going when we're in the pit? It's the dream that keeps us going when everybody's lying on us and when there's jealousy everywhere. It is the dream that will keep you going in the midst of all these problems. And I am persuaded that God gave Joseph such a detailed dream that it was what carried him in the midst of all those problems. Think about Joseph today. Think about what the boy went through and what his emotions were. Some of you at least have a few people around you, to have a church around you to encourage you. Joseph didn't have anybody. Joseph was sent off into a pagan, unbelieving world where they worship false gods. Well, Joseph is thrown in prison. And I'm not sure what is going on with him at this time, but let me tell you, even in this dark day, I tell you, I feel prophetic today. God's hand is still on some of you that you think God has taken His hand off. There's voices that have been speaking to you and saying, God has lifted His hand off of you. And the devil's such a master, and he'll tell you why, because you made a mistake or you did something wrong. I'm going to tell you something. I'm speaking against that today. God hadn't taken His hand off His people. And besides, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. But what I do want to say to you, it is very possible and likely that God is doing something in you to get you ready to fulfill the dream if you'll hold true to Him. Get that dream out and stir that dream up again. Some of you that are up in years, come on, stir that dream up again. Don't you give in to anything other than what God has told you He wants to do. Well, the rest of the story goes that after he was in prison, God's gift was still on him. And even in prison, guess what Joseph did? He stirred himself up to let God use him. And not only did he have a dream, but he was an interpreter of dreams. Folks, God's getting some of you ready to be used, but you feel like you're in a pit. You feel like you're in a prison. But if you'll keep using the gift God has given you, whatever door opens, wherever you go, I'm telling you, you are going to see the fulfillment of the dream that God has put in your heart. I need one more powerful amen this morning. Guess what? Joseph came through his problems. He held true to God. And guess what happened? This is the way it works. Folks, let me just tell you, some of you are going to get, and I know this isn't going to sound spiritual to you, but some of you are going to get the last laugh. You know, when you've got enemies that want your destruction and want you to fall and want you to fail, let me tell you, you stay true to God. You stay humble. Don't you become arrogant or haughty. Don't you get in vengeance. You just let God work everything out. Guess what? You're going to get the last laugh. But really, in the Spirit, you're going to get the last sense of joy from the Holy Spirit, because you were doing what God told you to do and you're being true to God's will, and you're going to see the fulfillment of it. Let me ask you a question today. What does God's Word say about our current economy? Because I know Americans are highly disturbed about the economy. Let me just say before I read these verses, folks, if you'll do what God tells you to do, our economy comes from heaven. And I don't care what's going on in this world, we operate if we'll just do what God says. You may not succeed if you decide to do it the way the world says. I have no intentions of failing. Let me just go ahead and proclaim. I have no intentions of one day going broke. I am not going to go broke. I am going to be provided for by my Father, as so are you and every one of God's people who are believing Him and doing what He says do. What does God say about the current economy that we're in? Well, here's what Proverbs chapter 8, verses 17 through 21 say, and I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice. And here's the reason why. To endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Come on, stir your heart this morning. Say, yeah, preacher, I've been working on this a long time, and I'm broke, and I'm busted, and I'm disgusted. Come on, get out of that. That's doubt. And that is not understanding the love of God. See, when we get in that mode and we live, yeah, go ahead, preacher. I've heard all you preachers. All you preachers want is you just want everybody's money. I only want what belongs to God. I don't want your money. But I want what belongs to God. Come on, doubt speaks in a cynical way. Yeah, I know. I've heard all that stuff before. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You need an attitude adjustment. You need a Joseph adjustment. You need to get rid of stinking thinking. Yeah, we're all, you know, mom and daddy was broke. We're going to be broke. And that's just the way it is. Besides, you see what our government's doing to us? They're just breaking us all. Whose government are you under? I'm an American citizen, and I love America, and I'm praying for America, and I'm sure praying for the next election with all of my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. I am not looking to the government ultimately for my provision. Don't get mad at me. Boy, I innocently made a comment like that one day. A few people got mad. Who is your provider, for God's sake? It's Jesus. God's children are not going to do without in this hour. Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25 says, "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due." Folks, do not withhold from God what is justly due to Him. Don't do it. If He tells you to give, be a giver, and He's told us to give throughout His Word. Don't withhold. But He said, and yet its result only, those who withhold, is only in want. But He says this, "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." I think a lot of people think if the markets are going up and down, that determines whether or not we can be blessed. I think a lot of people watch the news, and when they talk about double-dip recession, worldwide recession, that means God's blessings are null and void now. No, that's doubt speaking. That's fear speaking. That's torment speaking. Amen. Folks, do you understand God owns this world? Do you understand that? You understand, and the Bible says He owns everything, the gold and the silver that hadn't even been discovered yet. And by the way, the Bible says, and I don't have this verse with me, says the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the just. God will take care of you. Amen? If He has to rip a sinner off, He can do that. It's His world. Just because the sinner doesn't acknowledge God, just because some wealthy people don't acknowledge God, doesn't mean He didn't give it to them. He says He owns it all. And I'm sorry, He said, I've got it stored up for the righteous. You know, $1 million now is no problem for God. You know, $1 million won't go very far today. And some of you are saying, you give me $1 million and I'll show you how far it'll go. Don't get me wrong, I'll take $1 million. Proverbs 15 and 6 says, great wealth is in the house of the righteous. Listen to this, but trouble is in the income of the wicked. Some of you are saying, I was doing good until you preached that. I've got trouble in my incomes. Does that mean I'm wicked, Pastor? No, it doesn't mean you're wicked. If you're a believer, you're not wicked. You may not be doing what God has told you. You may have had some problems in the past, but I'm going to tell you, you start doing what God says. Be generous. Don't withhold. And do what God tells you to do. Do His will. Walk in righteousness. Guess what? You're not going to have trouble in your income. Proverbs 21 and 20 says, there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But notice the contrast. Proverbs always does this contrasting. He says, but a foolish man swallows it up. Now, folks, let's do a little bit of basic math here in financing. Don't spend every dime you get. I've got an answer for America's economic problems. America. You cannot spend more than you take in. Hello, somebody knock on something. It's pretty simple. Christians, don't swallow up all your blessing. The car might have a problem one day. And then when that happens, guess who gets the blame? We glorify the devil by talking about how powerful he is. Proverbs 10 and 22 says this. I love this verse. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. God can make us rich, bless our savings accounts, bless everything we do, and there won't be any sorrow attached to it. There's a lot of people right now that are not looking to God. I'm telling you, they're worried. I mean, ooh, I saw someone the other day I used to be very close to, and they're every time you're around them, their brain is off in orbit somewhere worrying about their assets and their debt and their investments. And now they're getting so red in the face, and I looked at them, I thought, what has happened to you, brother? I didn't say anything. Stress. God loves us today, beloved. I hope what I just said to you about debt and everything didn't bother you there. If you got some debt, just start whittling away at it. We're not going to talk about that today. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. I think you've heard the message today. God does not want His people to be filled with fear and torment. What about Elijah when his source of income dried up? I mean, he's just obeying God, doing what God told him. And he was at the river Cherith, and there he was. And for a few years, everything was fine. He had plenty of sustenance, had plenty of food. The ravens brought him the food. And then one day, guess what? The river dried up. What about me, Pastor, if my river has dried up? Well, you know what? God's got another river. And let me tell you, there was severe famine in Israel at the time. I can't promise you what's going to happen in America or in the world economy. But I'll tell you, if we read the Bible, I don't see a lot of hope for the economies of the world. Hey, folks, listen to me. We got to make room for the Antichrist. Any what? Antichrist. Boy, I don't want to get too political, but when I see what's happening in Europe, my God, do you realize how close we are to the coming of the Lord? And we're sitting around all doom and gloom. I'm going to tell you, God spoke very clearly to me over the Thanksgiving holiday. And I won't give you the whole context. I'm going to tell you, God said this very clearly to me. It was one of the most gentle, encouraging words God has ever given me. You'd have to know the setting and the situation. But he spoke very clearly to me. He said, "Son, if there is one thing that really will irritate me or upset me, it's murmuring. It's complaining." Because folks, let me tell you, this next year, we're going to go to Mexico and drill some water wells for folks who don't even have fresh drinking water. I think it's every 8 seconds someone dies for lack of fresh drinking water. And I knew what God meant in the context of what's going on in our world. I knew God was saying, "I don't want to hear any complaining. I don't want to hear any murmuring. I don't want to hear it." It really bothers him. So why don't we be like Joseph? Wherever we're at in life today, why don't we just let God give us an attitude adjustment and say, God is good, and he's going to provide for us? And why don't we freshen up our commitment to walk close to him and be what he wants us to be and be in relationship with him, and begin to enjoy the love of God and begin to enjoy the joy of the Lord once again? How do we keep fear out of our lives? Very quickly, number one, we must know how much God loves us and cares for us. I read the verse to you. Verse 18 there in John chapter 4 says, "He who doesn't understand these things and doesn't walk in the love of God and has torment and fear in their life, they have not been perfected in the love of God." Folks, let me tell you, God loved us enough to die for us. Let's be reminded of that. God himself came in the form of a man and went on a cross and went through everything you can imagine before that because he loves us. He died for us. He was beaten for us. And so God is saying, when we have torment and when we have fear in our lives, we don't understand the love of God. We have not come to full maturity yet. What do you say? We just don't have any more fear. What do you say we get the fear out? No more fear. And secondly, if you're going to get the fear out, now listen, this is one you've heard me preach on year after year after year if you've been here very long. Number two, you've got to consistently study God's Word because His Word eliminates fear. Now when I hear people say to me, "Pastor, I'm just not a good Bible reader. I just don't like reading." I may not say anything, but I think, "You dummy." Come on. I don't call them stupid, but I call them dumb. You know, there's a program out, The Dumbest Things People Do on Wheels. You seen this show? There's some dumb people that do some dumb things on wheels. Christians, God's Word is His will and His purpose and His plan, and it will reduce fear in your life. And I'm going to say it again. I swear every time I say it, I'm not going to say it. If you are running too fast in life that you don't have time for the Word of God, man, slow down, because you are crazy. Well, it's boring. Read it anyway.
Right.
Maybe you're the boring one.
Yummy.
That irritates me when people say, well, it doesn't. Oh, the new thing now is it's just not relevant. The Word is not relevant. Oh, my God. Get a life, man. Get born again. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Something. You need to consistently, and I know that's not the best way to motivate people to read the Word. I should do a lot of other things, but come on, man.
Yes, come on, good.
I had someone tell me the other day, and it just shocked me. I mean, they're just going through major trials, and they said to me, I just don't pray. We can't relate to that. I just don't pray. There's better ways to motivate people. I know it. I'm venting. Beloved, study God's Word consistently. Let me tell you, with all the devices we have and the technology now, my God, get an iPhone, do something. I'll turn you on to some stuff. You can sit there. It'll read to you. It'll preach to you. It'll do it automatically for you. You don't want a paperback Bible anymore, a leather-bound Bible? We can get you the Bible on computer, wherever. There's no excuse for not consistently studying God's Word. Let me tell you what it'll do if you will. Consistently, year after year after year after year, it'll put faith in your heart. And it'll remove the fear. And when something happens to you like it happened to Joseph, if you know the Word of God, guess what? Even though you get irritated, even though you get discouraged, even though you get emotionally drained, guess what? The Word won't let you stay there. You'll try. You can even try, if you're full of the Word, to have a pity party, and the Word of God won't let you do it. You can try. The Word says that God is going to provide for us regardless of what's going on in our Word. And third, and finally, we must have unwavering faith in God's promises. Now, I've already talked to you about doubt. Let me tell you something, folks. Doubt is real, and you need to keep it at bay. You need to believe the promises of God. Don't buy into the cynicism that is in this world today. I mean, there are Christians that are cynical. This one friend that, gosh, we just used to be so close, and we talked about the things of the Lord now, and you talk to them about the things of the Lord now, they're sour, and they've got a bad attitude. And it's scary to me. It concerns me. There's a lot of that going on today. But I can tell you what it is. I want to identify. It's doubt and it's unbelief. Where there's cynicism. Oh, this world, the government, this. I understand that. Those things hurt us and they bother us and we're sad about it. But complaining about it ain't going to do anything. We've got to apprehend the promises of God and live in faith every day of our lives. You think Joseph ever got discouraged, beloved? You think he ever got discouraged? You think he ever wanted to give up in the midst of his challenges? Folks, let me just tell you something. If God doesn't change anything in our lives right now, if everything just stays like it is, guess what? All the signs say that the Lord Jesus is going to come back to this earth probably in our lifetime. Folks, when you hear of what's going on in Europe, and I find this laughable, America bailing Europe out. That is humorous to me. But when you see all this happening, and when did it happen that we were so intertwined that if Europe has a problem, then we have a problem? Folks, we are now a global economy. Yeah, these things are real. But the Bible says we should be rejoicing. We should look up because our redemption is coming. That means even if nothing changes in my life, I'll probably see the coming of the Lord in my lifetime if I live to be of a ripe old age. Amen? Folks, God doesn't want us to be depressed and worried today. And He doesn't want us to be fear-filled. Are you going to do what God says? Come on, are you going to get in the Word? Come on. Tomorrow when you wake up and there's an ache in the hip or whatever, or the kids are screaming, are you going to get in the Word? You going to get in the Word? You going to remember what preacher said today? You going to remember? Come on, you going to do it? You going to do it when all of a sudden you get your 401k report back and the stocks have dropped? Are you going to do it? Are you going to be like Joseph? If you feel like you're in a pit, are you going to do like Joseph? Are you going to maintain a good attitude? Are you going to have unwavering faith? That's what we all need to do as we stand. And I'm going to pray for you this morning. We're going to believe God for miracles. Let me just tell you what I'm going to do and what God has dropped in my heart. And I'm not necessarily going to call anybody forward, but I know right here in our own congregation that there have been people who have lost their jobs and no fault of their own. There are companies that are suffering. There are businesses that really need the infusion of God in them. And I'm going to pray right now. Folks, if you really need a job, I'm going to believe today. I've got faith that God is going to give you a job. Amen? If you need it, and it's real. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today. And Lord, I declare in this place of worship, no more fear. Lord, those who will join us by the internet and radio, Lord, I declare over their lives, no more fear, Lord. Father, help every one of us to understand how much you love us, that you loved us so much you came to the earth and you gave your life for us. And God, you're not going to let us go without. You are the great shepherd, and you are going to provide for your people today. And Father, for this, we give you praise. And we give you honor and we give you glory. Now, folks, I want to hear the greatest praise I've heard all day today. Come on, I want to pray.